Fox Church, Chicago, has been for a while. But I think what he has done as it relates to ministry is significant. I think the last town he was responsible for helping at least 29 persons to enter into the Christian ministry. That itself is a task that and of course, all of you know that he is the immediate past chairperson of National DMCR. Thank you very much, Dr. Miller. We are moving right along. That sounds like it comes from some kind of program. And we are at the report that would come from the Parish Associates Program. This is a program that is sponsored by discipleship. The leadership has been provided by a number of persons, but I think the person who will present this and has provided the initial leadership and the concept is Dr. Spencer Bryant. Is Dr. Bryant here? Spencer? Spencer Bryant? He's in the hall. Persons including this gentleman who is coming to the platform at this time has been working on to try to capture what has been omitted from our cousin him. He has done an excellent job, and now he will tell you where it is at this time. Thank you, Vance. Let me try to answer from the start what has been the overriding question that each of you, or many of you rather, have asked me since I've been here at this meeting. And that is the question about copyrights of Precious Lord.
Yes.
We are working on it. There has been a change in leadership in the company who holds the copyright. Time does help sometimes. And the person who was giving us the most problem retired last week. So we've got a new administration. And we've already made some arrangements to explore, and we think it looks positive. So we're very hopeful around that that issue. Let me say that we are ready with the sampler for general conference. The sampler is composed of, what is it, 36 songs of the number that will be in the final book. It is to be used at general conference as one of the resources for worship and for congregational singing for general conference. I will present that document to general conference near its beginning, and it will be used throughout the 10 days of general conference. Now, secondly, I want to introduce, because I don't think you've had a chance to meet them, the consultant editors of the Songs of Zion. They are Mrs. Baroka Nix, who is sitting at the piano here. Baroka, if you'd stand. And Dr. J. Jefferson Cleveland. Let me try to see if I can put in some kind of perspective what it is this whole thing is all about. Homer began his song in the Trojan War. By appealing to the goddess to sing the rapture. wrath of Achilles. Aristotle thought of music as the most moral of the arts of man.
Yes.
The ancient Hebrews sang the songs of Zion about the greatness of God.
Yes.
And his deliverance of his people from ancient and evil Pharaoh.
Okay.
The night that Jesus was born, a mass choir of the heavenly angels gathered and sang the glory of his sons. And when he got ready to go out to Gethsemane,
yes,
to meet his cruel enemies and to be betrayed by his friends,
watch out.
They sang a hymn before they went out. Singing is important.
That's right. Yes.
And it is as close to worship as breathing is to life. Our fathers and our mothers have sung the songs of the soul and of the soil on these shores when their hearts were heavy and their load greater than they should have had to bear. But they sang. They sang of hope and deliverance. They sang of freedom and a better world. They sang of sorrows and salvation. Their bodies were enslaved, but their spirits were free to express the soul's poems that bedded themselves inside of their tortured and tired frames. They sang of hope and faith when around them all that was offered was death and danger. They sang of boundless justice when all about them there was only oppression and destruction. Even though they found themselves in an ill-harmonized and unmelodious land, a land out of tune with love and mercy, a land out of rhythm with the rippling righteous streams of justice, a land that did not know the solfeggionic dictums of the angels of glory. A land where their brawn and their sweat were used to beat back the wilderness, conquer the soil, and lay the foundation for a nation. But they had a song in their soul and a melody in their mouth. Our fathers and mothers sang sweetly the songs of Zion in this strange land. It has been the songs of the soul and the soil that have helped to bring black people through the torture chambers of the last two centuries and a half. Black music has nourished the community. It has soothed our hurts and bound our wounds and sustained our hopes. It has enabled us to magnify the Lord even though we were rebuked and scorned.
Watch out, brother.
Even while trouble buried us down, it has kept us aware that there is no hiding place down here. And therefore we have proclaimed that the God whom we knew in the African forest, the Lord of the Bantu and the Bushman and the Akan and the Ashanti, the God of the Hamilcar and Hannibal, was also the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Jesus. And when black folk walked the cotton fields of Alabama and stood on the peach trees of Georgia, they recognized that somehow they had known this God before. It was that music that kept us and enabled us to keep on going, to keep on trapping, if you will, in the faith that sometime, somewhere, somehow, people would finally be judged by their souls and not by the colors of their skin. And even when we left the farms and lands and the hamlets of Mississippi and made our exodus from Georgia and Alabama and the Carolinas and arrived in Chicago and Detroit and New York and Boston, we found that we were up south. We found ourselves there in an even stranger land. And what we did was we made an effort to create the atmosphere of home in those cities. Somehow to mix Saturday night with Sunday morning. And so the simple lines of the gospel were written on our minds and our hearts, and we translated these words into songs on our lips and praise in our mouth, and the gospel song was born. Now some accuse, and I've heard some of this, that's why I partly want to speak to it this morning. Some accuse the gospel songs of being untheological.
Watch out.
Some have accused the gospel songs of being untheological. The gospel song is not the theology of the oppressor is true. The theology of the gospel song is not the theology of Tillich and Brunner and Bach and Niebuhr and Mozart and Munkmann and Herzog. It is not the formalistic and arid scholarship of the schools or the universities, but rather it is a theology of experience.
That's what it is.
The theology of a God who sends the sunshine and the rain. The theology of a God who never fades. The theology of a God who allows us to walk on by faith each day. It's the theology of how we got over. It is the experience of living in rat-infested, roach-rampant apartments and being able to sing, Jesus loves me, this I know, in a different key. And with a different tone. So it is the theology of experience. And secondly, it is not the theology of our oppressors. It is the theology of imagination. It grew out of the fire shut up in our bones. Fear is turned to hope in sanctuaries and burst forth into songs of praise and joy. A theology of imagination. I wish I could say more about that, but I won't take the time. Thirdly, it is the theology of grace. Grace. That's so amazing. But it brings us through dangers, toils, and snares. It is the theology of a precious Lord who takes us by the hand and leads us on from despair to hope, from drudgery to celebration, from oppression to liberation. It is the theology of a new song of Zion in a strange land. I believe I spoke of this once, let me speak of it again. There was a notorious agnostic named Robert Ingersoll who could not affirm the existence of God. So when he died, the funeral notice in the newspaper read, quote, "There will be no singing." Well, he didn't believe in redemption. He didn't believe in God. He didn't believe in Jesus Christ. He didn't believe in grace. He didn't believe in a loving God, so there was nothing to sing about. But we as Black Methodists have something to sing about.
Yes, sir.
And you have come to this annual meeting knowing that you've got a lot to sing about.
That's right.
And I want you to sing. Sing about grace and God's ability to lift you up out of the mire and clay and set your feet on the rocks of eternal ages. Sing about redemption and be glad for the cross, the perpendicular meeting of time and eternity.
Yes, sir.
Where the verticality of God met the horizontality of man and formed the perpendicular angle and has become the symbol of hope and the fountain of blood where sinners plunge beneath that flood to draw their future.
That's all right.
Sing about God being a rock in a weary land.
Yeah.
That without him, you can do nothing.
Yes.
Without him, you would fail.
Yeah.
Sing about faith that will sustain and save us from the shrinking, though pressed by every thought.
Yeah.
Sing about hope that will allow us to keep on going when all seems dark and dreary and depressing.
Yeah.
Sing about Jesus, the Lamb of God. And help us know that you know that he's a bridge over troubled waters and a friend when mystery confounds our closest associates. Sing the songs of Zion. Sing the melodies of the heart. Sing the songs of the soul. Sing unto the power of the Lord comes down and makes us know that our faith looks up to him, the Lamb of Calvary. Don't worry about singing to the critics. Don't sing to the critics, but sing to our anxious hearts. Sing to the glory of God and praise his name. Let your praises be hallelujah. Hallelujah, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth forever and ever.
Hallelujah.
Let's put it all together and sing. Let's sing the gospel songs and the spiritual. Let's sing the anthems of the composers and the hymns of the church. Let's sing the songs that are the melodies of our souls. Let's sing. Let us sing the songs of Zion.
Hymn book for you.
a variegated hymn book with a lot of different types of music in it. And we don't have too much time this morning, but we do understand that we are scheduled to do more lengthy presentations during the course of the convention. This morning, what we're going to do, we've chosen two songs from the Songs of Zion that represent the variety that appears in the book. And we're going to do, and ask you to help us do, Glory, Glory, Hallelujah, and Father, I Stretch My Hands to Thee. Glory, Glory, Hallelujah is a spiritual-gospel. And this is one good thing we think about the book. There are those compositions that can be classified under more than one category.
Yes.
And Glory, Glory, Hallelujah is that type. Father, I Stretch My Hands to Thee is that old hymn that we're going to line out and sing until the glory of the Lord comes down.
Yes.
Father, I stretch my hand to thee. Father, I stretch my hand to thee.
Oh, yeah.
rooms you have, we're able to determine overcrowding situations. If you have 10 people living in a two-room house, that would tell us something there about housing. If you are indicating that you're having problems with plumbing facilities, then that would indicate certain needs in certain communities. We can determine what those needs are and try to plan programs that will meet those housing needs. Okay.
I would like to know what possible answers can we give to persons who are threatened by giving complete information on census forms or to census takers. I'm more concerned about those persons who feel that in the larger situations that social services will be cut. In other words, they will not report every person in a household. Is there some comment you can make on that?
Okay, we try to assure persons that census information is strictly confidential. Now, every employee of the Bureau are sworn to confidentiality. If I or any other persons that are employed by the Bureau of the Census reveal any information from your individual census form, then we can be fined $5,000 and or a 5-year federal imprisonment. This is one of the steps that we've taken to try to prohibit anyone from giving any information out from those individual census forms. Another aspect of that is that the Bureau is one of the only agencies in government that is protected by Congress as well as through the courts from revealing any information from an individual census form. We are not bound to give any information to the FBI or police department or welfare or housing or anyone. We don't give any information to no other governmental agency or anyone else from your individual census form. Another thing is that we do not require a Social Security number on that form. So we're not able to cross-reference those names with other agencies. I'll take two more questions and then... One more question? Okay, one more question.
I would like to know what the Department of Justice is doing about all our so-called illegal aliens metropolitan cities, you know. We have thousands and thousands of so-called illegal aliens. Are you counting or what?
Okay, the Census Bureau is in the business of counting people. It is not our responsibility to determine whether or not a person is legal or illegal. They are there in the communities using services. Okay, I'd like to thank the Black Methodist for Church Renewal for inviting me out to share some information with you about the census, and I'm hoping that everyone will be counted in 1980. Thank you.
Thank you.
We're running just about on schedule at this time. Let me say that we'll have a break immediately following this session, and then we'll go into our first session of the workshop. We hope that each of you will go into the workshop so that you understand why you have your advantage as they are and how the workshop will operate. The leadership will be Thelma Barnes, our executive director, will now share some information about the workshop.
Thank you. We apologize for not... sometimes we don't program sermons into the meeting, but if the Lord intends for us to receive a sermon, it gets to us. And I think that is what happened this morning, and our agenda is a little off key. So I'm going to ask you to accept an apology, and in the morning at the 9 o'clock session, we'll pick up the J.P. Stevens presentation, and the parish relations, the parish associates program. It's important that you try to attend all of the workshops and be there on time and stay throughout. I would like to make a special request to the National Board of Directors that each person would attend one of the three workshops. I'll be looking for you between now and 12:45, and I need to find you. All members of the National Board of Directors, please go to one of the three workshops, ABRC. We have leading work, the local church administration workshop, Dr. Maceo Timbrough, pastor of St. Mark United Methodist Church in Chicago, Illinois. And assisting him will be Reverend Jimmy Cummings from Lumberton, North Carolina, Reverend George Thornton from Indianapolis, Indiana, Ms. Helen Fanning from Evanston, Illinois, and Reverend Winfrey Dickerson from East St. Louis. Assisting Dr. J. Levon Kincaid with the workshop on stewardship in the local church will be Reverend Russell McReynolds, pastor in Flint, Michigan. Mr. C. Leonard Miller will take care of the workshop on general and jurisdictional conference concerns. The youth workshop this morning will be coordinated by Ms. Louise Gray, a member of the staff of the Women's Division of the United Methodist Church. So refer to green pages and follow where it says you are divided into groups by color, so that you, each person will be able to attend each of the three workshops. So in the front of your book, it tells you group A at this hour should be going to the Ashford Room. That's the yellow, where you have a little yellow dot on it. Okay. Group B has the green glow dot. You'll be going to the Greenbrier Room.
Yes, you know, even if it seems...
Group C has the light blue dot. You'll be going to the Emory Room. And you have orange dots. They will be going to the West Hastings. So look at the first page if you don't remember what I said. Get your color code and go to the room that group color, your group color indicates. We received communications from Dr. W.A. McMillan, the president of Russ College. He wanted you to know that he certainly would like to be here, but the university senate is meeting, and he's a member of that body, and he had to attend that meeting. Also, Dr. John T. King, the president of Houston-Phillipson College, indicates that it's impossible for him to be here. And Ms. Doreen Tillman, working with the National Council of Churches, expressed her concerns and regrets that she could not be with us at the time. Now, I have a real special appeal that I need your help with. We planned a women's luncheon for today at 1 o'clock, and by not having an active women's group here in Atlanta to sell the tickets in the Atlanta area, I had to commit a number for this luncheon. The number I committed based on our last year's attendance, taking into a consideration that we didn't have a local group working, was 100. I will have to pay for 100 lunches if you don't pay for 100 lunches. So if you haven't bought your luncheon ticket for $12, will you please go up to the registration area and get it immediately? Thank you. Dr. Major Jones, if you don't get the count for your luncheon upstairs, you won't have a luncheon. So anybody who sees Dr. Jones, tell him. He has to get that number up there before 12 o'clock. We have one thing more. We have the McDowell. In your package, you'll see a McDowell and Moss Photography Studio Incorporated, this yellow sheet of paper. Mr. Moss is taking pictures. The person that you see taking pictures around here, he's doing that for the meeting without charge. But I expect some of you to have your pictures made before Mr. Moss leaves. So you will help me, as Mr. Moss has tried to help us, to get pictures for our files for the conference. He would also like to make individual group pictures or what have you. He's the man who's walking around here with the camera. So I want everybody to have a picture to take back home as a representation of this most historic meeting we're participating. Thank you.
I have a few announcements. If I can have your attention for just a moment. Any person planning to attend the Northeast Jurisdiction special luncheon on Friday, March 28 at 1 p.m. in the Richmond Room, please pay. And Rachel Tyman. Tyman. There she is. Please pay her. There will be a meeting of the Northeast Jurisdiction Finance Committee in the lobby following this meeting. The Northeastern Jurisdiction Annual Meeting Program Committee will meet at 2:30 p.m. in room 2011, 2011. Those persons who should attend include Dorothy Yarbrough, Jeff Rump, Kelly Faye, Albert Reed, Roger McLean, Warren Hill, David White, Lila Keir, Larry McGuinn, Ben Ward, Norma Jones, and Mary Hart. Ed Ellis, who is here, would like all jurisdictional coordinators or membership chairpersons to give him a report of membership activities or new conferences formed during the year. Please see him today. There will be additional census information available from the table outside if you'd like to pick it up. And don't forget to return here at 4:45 for the next plenary session. You will now have a break. At 10:45, we hope that you'll be in one of the workshops. You will break for lunch and then return to your plenary workshop. I mean, your workshop.
Oh, 10:45.
10:42. Thank you. I have 10:42. You have a 3-minute break. Thank you very much.
Bishop's
talking about
angel. Lest I forget.
Lest I forget.
I thought it fitting and proper to choose a number that spoke to this particular season in the year for us. Those of us who believe, those of us who love the Lord and know that He died, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Those of us who are grateful for the fact that He died. For He didn't have to, did He? But He did. And we come to say, thank you, Lord, for that. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living. Whatever man may say,
she might get 100 yet.
I feel His hand of mercy.
She's going out for a minute.
I hear His voice of cheer, and just the time I need He's always near. Salvation.
Church and community worker assigned to the National Office of Black Methodists for Church Renewal. We are very pleased that you are here, and we are very pleased that you chose to attend this luncheon. I know there were many persons who had a little conflict with that, but we're very glad to see you, and we're very glad to see the men in the audience. This is a luncheon sponsored by the Women's Concerns Committee, but it is not limited to women. We welcome you to the city of Atlanta. We hope that you will enjoy your stay. And if there's anything that we can do to make it a little better, we'll do the best we can. The invocation will be given by Mrs. Louise Hutchinson from Oakland, California.
We thank thee, Lord, for the blessings